Hello?
Jeff Clark.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I can hear you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Refresh my memory. Is this the first time we've actually spoken to one another?
I don't know, man. It can't be, can it? I mean, it's like all these years.
I feel like it might be.
It might be. I don't know if we've been on another podcast where it was like us and some other people, but like this is probably you and me first time, you know, one-on-one, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we save it? I don't want to talk about anything that's not recorded.
Yes. It's all gold, Jerry. It's all gold.
Yeah. All right. In fact, this conversation, it's going in before the show. I'm putting it
all
in.
Right.
And now I'm going to play the intro. You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining J's. Raining J's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making us part of your daily routine. And if you can hear the smile on my face, it's because this is going to be a podcast unlike any other. Normally, we have at least a couple of the Rain and Jays, but it's just me, John Corrales. No Jay King, no Jam Packard. So we had to go find another Jay somewhere on the internet. And
where would you find someone like that?
I don't know. Jeff Clark of Celtics Blog, fellow old man on Twitter.
What?
Who is totally pretending not to be an old man.
What?
Yeah. I tweeted out the picture of us as the Muppets, Statler and Waldorf. It's the only way I can picture us two as two of like a handful of OGs, along with my partner, Chuck McKinney, on the site. But like, there's like a handful of us. First of all, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been a while. We've talked about having you on many times. We haven't had you on earlier because I mostly keep forgetting to email you. So today,
that's okay. We're old, but that makes sense.
Yeah. So, here we are, and I think that this is definitely the first extended conversation we've had.
If it sounds like we're just flailing around trying to look for something to talk about, it's because, you know, we don't know what to say now. We're just we're in stunned silence.
So we go way, way back. Celtics Blog is like the pioneer. Like you've been around for so long. You actually got the name Celtics Blog. It's the most perfect name in all of blogging. That you just came along first and like, I'll just call it this. And everybody's like, hey, I want to start a Celtics blog. I should call it, that name's taken. So that's an idea that you had a long time ago. Why don't we start there? Why don't we start with your initial foray into this, what we now call blogging, but back then, who knew what it was called?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I like to tell people I was blogging before there was a blog, and it's, you know, I used to do a sports site called sportsrant.net or something like that, and it was just like I had to write my articles, FTP them up to the site, update the links on the front page, and it was always a pain in the neck, and I was wondering, you know, why can't someone just make something like a content management system that was always constantly refreshing it? And sure enough, you know, a year or two later they did. So, you know, I jumped on that bandwagon, and it's been glory days ever since. Yeah, I mean, I had a friend. I was struggling with a clever name to come up with. Sacktown Royalty was already out there, so I was looking for something, you know, catchy like that. And one of my friends was like, "Dude, just Celtics Blog, just do that." And I was like, "Well, that makes sense. I'll try that." So here we are.
There you are. it's funny to think now, because it's so easy now. Literally anybody can do it. You sign up for a WordPress,
right,
or whatever, and you can be blogging. And it does everything for you. You want to put a picture in, you want to put a quote, you want to put a link. It's very, very easy. Mm-hmm. And when you say things like FTPing things up to the site, it's hilarious to me. Because Chuck and I used to use, I forget exactly what program it was, but it was like some sort of publishing software. They call it a WYSIWYG editor. What you see is what you get.
Yes.
And we would create just text boxes and pictures and whatever. And we would upload that to something that would publish on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then what I would have to do is, when I updated something, I had to be in constant contact with Chuck and say, "All right, I updated the site," and I'd email him a file that says, "This is the new front page." And he would have to use that to edit, because if he used the old one, then the stuff I wrote would just disappear. There was no archive. There's no nothing. It's just,
yeah,
you know. So when things like TypePad and WordPress came out, we were like, "Oh my god, this is a brilliant idea!"
Yeah, that's great. The only problem is that the older you are, the more old takes you have. And you can still search on my article where I was singing the praises of Mark Blount. So I'm not sure. Some things I'd love to have just deleted off the site, but you know, there it is.
That's the one old take you'll never get out of me.
No.
I hated him so much. I kept saying, I wish I could be thrown into a windowless room with Mark Blount. Because he was the epitome of a guy that, you know, could be better. And the instant he got a decent he was playing all right for a while. I remember he got a big contract and then it was like, "All right, that's it. I'm done."
Yeah. He had a half a season a half a season of a double double and he got a big contract. And that was it.
That was it. But oh yeah. Oh man, the old takes. And you're right. You've been around for as long as we have in this. And especially when it's blogging, it's not like newspapers or anything like that. We've got columns and there's always old takes around.
Yeah.
The bloggers, especially at the beginning, and I know especially with me, you've always been much more straightforward. Like you've always been like, I've always liked your style of just very straightforward. And part of why Red's Army became what it was and was just goofy and irreverent. I mean, that's our personality.
Yeah.
But it was also like, well, you guys have the market cornered on like good basketball writing. So we're going to do like, we're just going to be goofy, because at that point it was Celtics Hub and that was Zach Lowe.
Yeah, exactly. So what are we competing with here?
So we came up and Zach Lowe, think about that now.
Yeah, that exactly.
When we were starting and when I was starting, I'm like, "All right, there's Celtics Hub. And Jeff's doing this. And there's Celtics Blog and Jeff's doing this. And Celtics Hub and Zach's doing this and it's very good. I can't compete with either of you guys. I'm just going to make Photoshops."
Well, you undersell yourself a lot. I mean, you still do very good, very quality work and you always have. And I always respected you for that. But you're right. You definitely took a very loose cannon and say what we're going to say and post what we want to post. And, you know, it was goofy and I loved it. And, you know, there's a reason why you were the yin to our yang. And, you know, it's been great. And you want to talk about history. It's always one after another. I mean, we can all, you know, look up to and look back to Bill Simmons, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Because he was the original OG in terms of, you know, getting on the internet and writing content and just saying, you know, forget the old system. We're going to do this a new way. And he was kind of an inspiration for me to get started on what I'm doing. And if there's anybody I've inspired and you've inspired, then great. Then we're just passing it along to the next generation. And again, I've always said this. the part of the fun of this is that we weren't competing. We weren't like competitors. This was a brotherhood. You know, it was a, you know, you, me, we were all like rising on the same tide and going forth to do what we do and do what we love to do in a common sort of way.
Yes. I compare the blogging, the blogosphere, especially the Celtics. I can't speak to any of the other teams. I don't know what it's like.
Sure.
But I assume it's very similar because it is, but especially here in Boston, the best thing I can compare it to is craft breweries. And I don't know if you're a craft beer guy, but I am. And I've done a lot of work on it. I've done stories on it.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's always stuck out to me is there is to some degree, some competition because everybody wants to measure themselves against the other person to some degree, right? Like even if it's a friendly competition, you know, if I'm playing against my best friend in something and we're trying to get 20 shots up and first one to 20 wins, that's fun. It's still competition. So, and I'm a competitive person. So there's always that little bit thing, that little bit of competition there with these craft brewers, but they always congregate. They are always talking to each other and maybe they don't share every little secret with each other, but they, they work with one another. They do the two breweries combine for a special brew for something. And they're always going to each other's things. And as I've done stories for TV or for print on the craft beer industry, that always stuck out to me. I'm like, this is very much like the blogging that we've been doing. I'm thinking that as I'm doing those stories, that what we do, like you and I and Zach and all of you, and now hundreds of other people along the way, it's always generally been, with a few exceptions, but there's always exceptions, that it's always been just, I'll help you out. Let's work on something together. If we're called together to do something, like, that's great. If you do something great, retweet it, share it, put it out there. Right. Like, it's always great to see somebody else doing something great, because I think we both agree the more good content that's out there, the better.
Right. Yeah. You know? Well, it's just fun for us. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of an echo chamber when we start retweeting after the retweeting and the aggregating and the aggregating, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, if I see you guys doing something great, I want to share it with the crowd, and I want them to see that, you know, we're all in this together. It's fun. So, yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun this season. It's been a lot of fun just following this team. And this team is never, ever boring. And I love that about it. You know, I mean, even in the down years, it's been like, hey, we've got Steez to laugh at. We've got Evan Turner, you know. I mean, exactly. I mean, so there's always something, and it's been a lot of fun.
Let me ask you this. I have my own theory on it, but I want to get your take. Okay. Is it easier to do this when the team is good or when the team is bad?
Yes. I mean, it's easier to come up with content when the team is bad because it's easy. It's just like, okay, what am I going to wake up and complain about today?
Right.
When the team's good, it's like my article today was, wow, this is such a great team. Enjoy this season. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We know.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff, for saying that.
I agree, Jeff. Thank you.
So, I mean, you know, I'm always been content is great. Content is king, if you will. But I'd say, you know, community is queen, right? So because I want this to be a dialogue. I want to, you know, just say I'm dumb. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about half the time. I've never played basketball at the professional level. I haven't even, you know, I can't even fathom that level. I don't know the least thing. You from being playing in college ball know so much more about basketball than I do. But hey, I've got a take. You know, I've got a, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put it out there. I'm even going to ask a question at the end of the article because I want to see people commenting on the article and starting a dialogue. Those people that say, you know, never read the comments, I get it. There are some comments you just have to filter out in your brain. But at the same time, I want to see what people are saying. I have 1,000 editors that are giving me all the feedback I could possibly need on the articles that I write. And I love it. I want that. I want the people correcting my grammar. And I want the people telling me, oh, that's a really unfortunate sentence you put there because you said breaking ankles and backdoor alley-oops in the same sentence. Hey, let's not do that anymore, okay? Stuff like that. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's right. So I love the dialogue and I love the community. And that's the fun. That's the whole fun of it. You want to ask, like, why I got started on this? Because I moved out of the Boston area and I was surrounded by people who could not care less about the Boston Celtics. And it was driving me up the wall. And I would just write my friends 3-page emails about the Celtics and how I hated Rick Pitino. And they'd be like, I don't care. Okay. Yeah. So I had to find other Celtics fans. It's a need in my life. And I just had to find other Celtics fans. I had went online and I found them on message boards. I found them on, and then I was like, you know, hey, I can do a blog about this. And I did. And I found my community. I found my people.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. This is the thing, especially about blogging, your voice, you just gotta be, you gotta be good. And your history with the game, it doesn't matter necessarily. Like, even like some of the coaches who are out there, they, some of those guys have never played anything beyond small college basketball. It doesn't matter. Sure. You could be great. You know, you could play at DePauw and be a pretty damn good coach. But what that just, I guess, gives us varied backgrounds, and I love the variety. Like there's whatever content we're providing. The beauty, I think, is when you see people who take the different elements of the stuff that we've been doing and are expanding on it. You know, we're trying to do it better, and now with the different statistics and all that other stuff that are out there, it's just really growing. And you just see people from all backgrounds, you know,
right.
You know, one of our guys he works for you now. And then he used to previously worked for us. Yeah. Alex Kungu is a lawyer, you know, right. And right. You know, you've got a young black man who is now a lawyer who has his own perspective and has now been able to get footing in this space and gain respect in this space. I don't know what his basketball background is. I don't know if he's ever picked up a basketball.
Right.
I don't know if he's a basketball, you know, like God. You know, and I don't even care. I don't even care.
Like, well, that's the fun of it too. It's like, you know, we all have different voices. We all have different talents. It's just like putting together a basketball team. You know, I happen to know my strengths and weaknesses by now. I'm the savvy old vet who knows. I'm not great at, you know, breaking down game film. I'm not great at crunching the numbers necessarily. I'm more of a narrative guy. I can tell a story with just the kernel of knowledge and I can run with it. But that's why I want my blog to have a staff of people who can break down game film, who can break down stats, who can break down the salary cap. And, you know, it just makes the site a fuller experience because of all that. And I just give them the canvas that they need to paint on. So I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So I think definitely one of the advantages of what we do is seeing these young guys. And look, seeing a guy like Zach Lowe and, like you said, Bill Simmons, like there's these stories. And I think one of the good things about being around as long as we have is look at all the guys that are now big that we are that. You know, we're all from the same era, like, you know, Zach Harper and Matt Moore and all of these guys that are really doing extremely well. You know, Jay King, who.
Yes, exactly.
You know, is an adequate podcast host, but tremendous writer. And, you know, he had his stint with you. And
yeah, for about a week, but that's okay. We had Kevin O'Connor too. Like, you know, you get these guys, they're coming through the system and they're proving their worth and they're blowing up and that's, you know, based on their work and their work ethic and their talent it's paying off. And I love that. I've never, ever, ever felt bad about seeing somebody move on from the site, especially when it's on to something bigger and better. So, you know, I love that.
So let's get back to the evolution of Celtics blog, because it's now just grown to tremendous heights, and part of SB Nation, which, I mean, SB Nation comes along, a network of blogs, which whoever would have thought of that? Like, when it first started coming around, I'm like, is this even going to work? Like, so, you know, you guys become an SB Nation blog and things really take off.
Yeah.
Can you like walk us through the process of going through that and then understanding, like at what point do you understand, like, okay, we're kind of a big deal. Do you have that feeling at all? Like, people are coming to us. A lot of people are coming to us. Like, do you feel like a certain pressure or a certain kind of feeling about all of this stuff as you've continued to grow?
Nah, I mean, like, you know, I like to joke with my wife and say I'm a Z-level celebrity, you know. It's just a very finite number of people who would consider me famous, right? So, and the blog itself, it's just been like, you know, I guess back in the day it was really great timing because we started getting a little bit momentum, little bit of momentum right around the time when the Celtics traded for Kevin Garnett, right?
Right.
And so, hey, how about a time to just get up in that upward trajectory? And right around that time, you know, you want to go back in the day, servers. I was renting space on a server, and the servers were like maxed out. Every 2 months, I had to buy the next level up of special service because I was maxing out their thing. I still remember on draft night, it was just like, oh my goodness, the site is crashing every 3 minutes. This is terrible. I don't know what to do. So, like, you know, at that point, it was just like, I'm not, you know, I figured out a few things about how to do, you know, images and uploading to the site and doing some, throwing a message board in there, throwing a chat room in there. And just, it was just cut and paste stuff that other people had done. But at some point, I topped out at my expertise. And so I recognized that. And, you know, I just kind of made a business decision of, hey, you know, this is something that I could sell to somebody. And it actually was, you know, between SB Nation and some other entity that I won't name. But it was like, you know, they kind of like, it's not like it was a bidding war or anything like that, but it was definitely like, hey, this is great. I have actually have two different offers. And with the more I listened to Jim Bankoff and the folks at SB Nation, I realized they get blogging. They understand where I'm coming from. It's not just where they wanted to plug me into their existing situation. They knew what I was doing, how I was going to go forward with it, and they were on board with that. And so I saw that and got in kind of fairly early in that process. And they have just, you know, taken off as a site and as a company as well. And it's been a lot of fun to be part of. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's been a fun process. And I don't know if we're boring the heck out of people with the history of Celtics blog here, but, you know, it's my side gig. It's my, you know, it's what would they call that? The side hustle, if you will. It's what I do. And I've been blessed to the nth degree to be able to take my passion and my hobby and turning it into something that's a little bit profitable. So I'm very, very, very blessed and happy to be where I'm at.
Have you ever thought about not making it your side gig and just making it your gig?
Like someone else we know?
You know.
Yes.
Look, I will say I do not have some of the things that you have to think about when it comes to family and all the other stuff know. So, I mean, I can kind of fail and be like, all right.
I have developed a taste for the lifestyle that I can live with my current job and my side gig. So and my wife and kids would probably have a little bit to say if I walked away from that. So, yes, I've considered it. It would have to be a sweetheart of a sweetheart job for me to do it full time. But it's not in the cards for me currently. So, but I very much respect what you're doing.
Oh, well, I mean, I wasn't fishing for that, as far as you know. But thank you. Thank you. I would say that.
Flattery will get me everywhere, I'm sure.
Yes. And hey, why don't I just plug my Patreon, patreon.com/JohnCorrales. Why not? Because I'm going to soon start posting there for money. So pay me money, everybody.
Pay that man his money.
I'm sure that's exactly how the advertising agencies would have promoted something like that.
Yes.
All right. So here we are. We've been doing this for, I think, what, Red's Army is going into what, its 13th year? Which makes you what, 14, 15? 16?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 15 at the, in the May, I guess. So.
All right. So that is an insane amount of time in the internet world. To be around as a blog for 15 years.
Yep.
That's a long time. I mean, this is kind of like me asking like the 35-year-old guy in the locker room, so how much time you got left? Like, and I'm not putting you on the spot, but like, you know, there has to have been a time. And look, I'll be upfront about it before you answer. There have been times over the past couple of years where I'm like, how much longer can I do this? Like, at what point is the effort not worth the payoff? I mean, you must have had these crises of confidence or like this kind of like, is it worth it kind of moment?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like when you talk to an NBA player or a football player, anybody who's towards the end of their career, and you're like, when are you going to give it up? Well, when I stop getting that antsy feeling before the beginning of the season, right? You know, there's that drive and that love. And no, I mean, I haven't felt like walking away at all. And I will say, like, you know, going back to the early days of the blog, when, you know, I was trying to sell advertising and the server costs were just going through the roof, and I had to have a hard sit down conversation with my wife at that time. Be like, look, I'm losing tons of money, but you don't understand how popular this thing is getting. This is an opportunity. We're going to make this work. And it played out, thankfully, very right. And, you know, so, but like, early, I mean, since then and lately, I'm just enjoying, like I said, feeding into other people who are doing their passion, like, you know, coming along. I wish I had someone like me who could, you know, bring me into a situation, give me the tools, give me the voice, give me the opportunity to share my voice with people, and, you know, give me some pointers along the way. You know, I was blessed to have, you know, some people just, you know, I called up Steve Bulpet and chewed his ear off for about, you know, a few hours. I had, you know, Bill Simmons send me a very nice email at one point early on when I was starting up. And I treasure those times when people did that for me, because I want to do that for other people and I want to give people that opportunity. So, you know, it's the whole veteran wanting to see the young bucks do their thing type of thing. I'm kind of going to be in that perpetual mode for a while now, I think.
Yeah. You know, I like that. I think that's a great answer, because I think you and I are very similar. Like, on the face of it, like, people say things to me and people say very nice things to me. Like, I went to the fan fest and people want to take pictures, which is like, blows my mind. It blows my mind. I'm walking out of the arena and somebody leans over a railing and goes, Locked On Celtics. And if that person's listening, that was awesome. That was awesome. And blows my mind. But at the same time, like, you have to have that feeling like, you know, people know us. When you've been around, like, we're part of the ecosystem. We're like trees in the forest, but we're there.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of requests from kids in college who are doing, and this happens over the past few years, I'm sure you get them too, kids in college who have a course and they need to talk to somebody, and they ring you and they say, hey, can you help me out with this project? I need to interview somebody. Which is, you've gotten those, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. That's the
best. And now we're going to get about 50 of them.
Yes. Yeah. So I won't say school or name the names, but I actually had two kids from the same class in a school asking me about a project that it didn't actually fit, so I couldn't do either of them. But it was funny. I'm like, I'd gone through it with one kid, and then somebody else gives me the whole like sell of like, hey, this is my project and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you in class with this person? And he's like, yeah, I am actually. Did he ask you? I'm like, yeah. So
that's awesome.
I love that part of it, because look, we're in our 40s and we're, I mean, I'm acting as immature as I possibly can without like being like sad.
Right.
I'm trying to toe the line between cool and sad. Like, okay.
Don't go full Dwight Howard, please.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I want to be like just at that point where like, okay, he understands his age, but he doesn't act it. I don't want to be like that guy who's like, okay, now you're creepy. Like, you're creepy and weird. Like, I want to come up to that line, but I don't want to cross it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's that balance that we have in everything we do. Yes, we're famous, but we're not that famous.
No,
you know,
God,
yes, we love the attention, but we're still pretty, we're humble enough to understand, no, we're not that big a deal, right?
No, so it's within this little basketball sphere, within this little Celtic sphere. And look, in an arena with 20 or 18,000 people, or wherever the garden holds, if 2 out of 18,000 people say, hi, I read your stuff, that's not a big percentage. But for my ego, I'm like, yeah, man, people keep coming up to me. But like, it's still cool. It's still cool within this, whatever it is. And I don't say this to pretend that I'm famous. My whole point is that I like that there's that next step. And I loved your answer of, well, it's not that I want to leave. It's now I think we're in a different place. And there are young people who see us in a way that we don't see ourselves. And those are people who are asking us questions and who want help. There are people who ask both of us, hey, can you help me out with this? Or, you know, I want to write for your site and I want you to help me become a better writer. And some of those people, they stop writing. And some of those people continue to write. And some of those people go to great things, and it's just awesome. And I don't even know what the entire point of this was, other than to agree with you and say.
Well, I mean, people ask us for advice all the time, right? And, you know, I have to stop myself from being flippant and saying, you know, go back 15 years and start before anybody else started, right? You know, that's my key to success is doing it first, right? But I mean, you know, but at the same time, you know, I've been around, I've seen other people succeed and I've seen, you know, I've seen what's worked and what hasn't worked. I've made all the mistakes you can possibly make and then still, you know, moved on from there. And I guess that's, you know, one of the things I say is, you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to try something new. And, you know, and obviously there's the two pillars, you know, read a lot. Mm-hmm. And then write every day, like something, you know, it doesn't even matter if it's total crap. It doesn't matter if you and your grandma are the only ones reading it, just write, you know, and that's the only way you get better.
That's it. So. No, seriously. It's exactly it. It's that you part of what we did and what all of us did as writers, I think, is you kind of come up and you start almost copying somebody that you like to read and you like to read it and that style is in your head and you end up writing in that style, whomever it is. And then as that progresses and you keep writing, you start to find your own voice creeping in because now you're not copying somebody. You're kind of easing into yourself.
Right.
And it depends on who you want to be. And Chuck and I always have these conversations. We have had a lot of people come through Red's Army, a lot of great people come through Red's Army. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we've started to try, like we tried Ted's Army with the baseball and we tried Ray's Army with hockey.
Right.
And they do well and then they fizzle out. And the thing that Chuck and I keep saying is, we need to find people who are too stupid to stop writing and who are stupid enough to prioritize the blog and the writing over everything else in their lives.
Eating, bathing.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like I'm divorced. I will be the first person to admit it's not the reason I'm divorced.
No.
But I'll tell you what, it didn't help.
As someone who's married, there's times when it doesn't help too.
Right. So
and that's why the young bucks have an advantage. They've got all this energy and they're right out of college and they don't have anything better to do with their time. So, you know, and like I said, you know, the grinders, the workhorses of the world, you know, I'll take that over someone who's, you know, extremely eloquent but totally unreliable, right? So some of this blogging stuff is just like, you know, it's almost like an entry level job at first, because you're grinding. You're not getting a lot of glory or money or anything like that for it, but you're putting in your dues. And then over time, your talents and your experience shines through.
I'm going to use this as an opportunity to transition to actual basketball. And we've spent half an hour talking about us and our past and everything. We'll move forward to talk about actual basketball. But here's the transition. And I think blogging and writing and being an NBA journalist, an actual full-time journalist, is very much like becoming a basketball player. There's 30 teams in the NBA, approximately 450 spots in the NBA per season. And there are a lot more than 450 people out there playing basketball and trying to become NBA players. And it's very similar in the writing game and or TV if you want to be on camera, or radio if you want to be behind a mic. Each market has its own finite set of slots. And yeah, sometimes people like me want to kind of jam and, you know, wedge in another slot and hopefully be part of it. But everybody who wants to be a Celtics writer, you're not going to be a Celtics writer. You have to have a thing in the NBA. And there's a great piece in Slam out today on Jason Tatum. And I will say to young kids trying to write and do this legit for a full-time thing, and to young players who are reading that and seeing what Jason Tatum did, when it comes to calling up Drew Hansen and going into the depths of how much can you endure without giving up, it takes a certain kind of stupid, and I say that in a very complimentary way. You got to just be almost too stupid, too stubborn. You got to have something in your head that says, I am absolutely not quitting. In my lowest of lows, when I sit there and I say, is this all worth it? That even if 99.9% of you says, this is not worth it, there's a 0.1% of you who says, no, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the thing that keeps you going.
Yeah. My dad used to call that a monomaniac on a mission, which is just hyper focused. I mean, you know, we're talking Michael or Magic Johnson walking to and from school, always dribbling the ball up and down the court. Yeah. I mean, it's just that you got to have that passion, and it's got to, you know, feed you. And if it doesn't, then maybe this isn't the career for you. And that, like you said, transitioning into basketball, that's what we see in guys like Kyrie, who's always trying to improve upon himself. Tatum is early on in his career, but you can see that he's always trying to push himself and improve on himself. Guys like Jaylen Brown, who are like, why not me? Why can't I be a superstar? Why can't I try this? And why, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of LeBron James, and I'm going to go at him right in my rookie year. I don't care. I'm not backing down from this. So yeah, I love that, and that's part of the fun of this sport, is it does teach us about ourselves. It teaches us about, you know, human nature and things of that nature.
So. Yep, there is a thing. I love sports and I love basketball because it's taught me every great lesson in my life, and I apply it to everything. And I always go back to the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech, where Michael Jordan, the consensus greatest player of all time, for the most part, you know, will at that moment, he's going into the Hall of Fame. The overwhelming majority of the basketball world thinks you, Michael Jordan, are the greatest of all time. This is your chance to sit there. It's like, it's an opportunity to be post-Thanksgiving gorging, unbutton your top button on your belt, lean back, let out a big belch, and be like, I'm satisfied. Even in that moment, Jordan took a ridiculous amount of time to go back and be like, I told you so, because he still carries these things. Now, look, I'm a big advocate for mental health. It's probably not the healthiest thing mentally, but
no.
At the same time, it's that thing. If you can find a better balance, I don't know, but
yeah.
That's the thing that made Michael Jordan what he is, because there are guys who can jump as high as Michael Jordan did in his prime, who are faster, who are better shooters, who are just as good defensively. But there was a thing in his head that pushed him to be greater than the people who had same or better physical skills. That's what made him better, this maniacal thing. And so now we see it in Jason Tatum. Now we see it in these guys that you mentioned. All of these guys who are great at what they do. Gordon Hayward, even in those videos, and even though they're well produced, and it seems like maybe slightly not the most genuine moment, but I can tell that the sentiment is real when he says, people wonder if I can go back to being an all-star after this injury. Well, I'll show them. Like, that line may be delivered in that moment. Right. You can question it, but the sentiment is real. And that's the thing. When we talk about parallels between what we do and who's going to be great, it's that thing that makes you say, I don't care. And you carry these slights like, oh, okay, you didn't want to hire me? All right, I'll show you. All right. You know?
Well, I mean, I'll counter too, that's another life lesson too, right? Because you see Michael Jordan, you see all the success he's had, and you can tell some little part of him is still not happy with all of this, right? And you see other, stars that, they always carry around these burdens and things like that. And like, I think there's actually something to be said about, hey, real life means understanding and being content with what you have in your life, and not always having to be, pushing for the next brass ring and the next goal or trophy. I mean, at some point, is that going to matter to you? Like, I love that the phrase of, I'm never going to look back on my deathbed and say, man, I wish I had spent 5 more hours at the office one day. Treasure what you have, treasure the people around you, and live your best life any way you can. If that means rising to success, great, but don't do it at the expense of other things.
Well, yes. And this is the beauty of this, is that each individual has his own idea of what we're talking about, and your own idea of happiness. And there are people who are happy with living minimalist lifestyles, and there are people who are only happy living the grandest, most, Trump Golden Tower lifestyles. And we'll all criticize each other because that's human nature. But I'm a very big believer in the Taoist philosophy of each person has their own path. And I may not agree with certain people's paths, but that's your path, not you personally, but like each individual's path is their own thing. And if you're happy, then that's really all that matters. What I'm saying is some of these people aren't happy, like unless they are absolutely I have to reach this point. I have to get to this point. And the reality to me is if you're trying to become an elite anything, writer, whatever, jockey, whatever.
We're too tall to be jockeys, let's be honest.
Definitely too tall. Unless we're riding moose. There's a certain reality that goes along with it. So yeah. This Celtics team is...
Oh yeah, we talk about the Celtics, don't we?
Yes, we do. So let's spend some time talking about our Celtics. These guys are, what's the best way to put it? Pretty good.
And yeah, they'll be all right.
They'll be okay. Do you think they're good enough to do it all this year?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think they're good enough to do it all. Now, does that mean they will? No, not necessarily. I mean, they've got a pretty good team out west that they've got to play too, if we're doing an understatement here.
The Utah Jazz.
Of course. I mean, don't sleep on those Rockets. And of course, everybody is ready to crown LeBron James the king of the West as well, too. So, I don't know. I think the Celtics are good enough to make the finals. and they are good enough to put a fight in the finals, and anything can happen in the finals is what I always say. I mean, nobody was given the Cleveland Cavaliers much of a chance a few years back before Kyrie hit that last shot to win the series. So things happen. And, you know, I think the Celtics, you put him in a situation, give him a chance, give him the best coach in the league, or, you know, 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call it.
Dwayne Casey? And
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, clearly Quinn Snyder. And so it's, you know, I think they've got a shot, as good a shot as anybody out there, including the Warriors. And I'll just say that.
Great. Is there anything in Gordon Hayward's return that has, I don't want to say concerned you, but let me put it this way. Where is Gordon Hayward in reality versus where you thought he might be in your head at this point?
Honestly, I think he's right about where he would have been in my head. I mean, in terms of what I was expecting. I always, you know, anytime you give me a recovery schedule and when they'll be up to speed, I always tack on an extra month or so. And, you know, like Doc Rivers, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know jack squat about that. But at the same time, I've just seen it so many times where I'm just sort of like, you know, he's going to need time to get up to speed, get his rhythm back, get trust in that leg again. I mean, I can't even imagine ever walking again, never mind playing basketball at the highest level. So, you know, much respect to him for doing that. And I think he's just going to be – it's going to take some time to get into the swing of things. It's going to take some time for the Celtics to learn all their pieces. Even though they are such complementary pieces together, it's still going to take time to learn where to step in that cha-cha. You know, and so, you know – yes, I'm very, very, very ready for the talk show radio host to panic when they go 2-3 to start the season. but I'm not worried, you know. I mean, it's going to come together. It's going to be very Belichickian in the way that it comes together in my mind. You know, I mean, I don't know. Don't put Vegas bets on this, but I expect them to have a few games that they drop early on, and people are going to get worried, and it's all going to be for naught because they're going to be a great, great team.
I feel like our mentality as a Celtics fandom is like this year's mentality should have happened last year, and last year's mentality should have happened this year. In that, last year, everybody was very measured. Like, they signed Gordon Hayward, they drafted Jason Tatum, and obviously there were so many questions that we weren't sure, but like, that's the season where irrational confidence should have kicked in and be like, man, we got Kyrie, we got Gordon Hayward, we got this guy who should have been the number one pick. Like, we're going to win it all, baby. Woo!
Right.
And like, instead, everybody's like, well, it's probably going to be a slow start. We should just relax and temper our expectations.
Right.
This year, everybody's on board with the train. Like, it was July and we're talking about matchups with the Golden State Warriors. It's hard to fight that when really this is the year where we should be like, all right, look, Gordon's coming back. He's going to be off for a year, and he came back from an injury where his foot was on sideways. Let's just kind of slow it down. And look, I'm as guilty as anybody, maybe more guilty than most people, because I was on the, you know, as Rachel Nichols would put it, the hay watch for him coming back in the playoffs last year. I was a Hayward truther. So I get it. I'm part of the problem. But this feeling of last season should be applied to this season, because now it's like, well, now wait. Hayward's coming back from this injury. Tatum is really good. Jaylen Brown is really good. We've got a lot of really good players. How's this going to work? Like, it's harder for them to figure it out this season than it was last season, because at least last season there was a definite Tatum, no matter how good you are, you're a rookie. And Jaylen Brown, no matter how good you are, you're a second year player who got benched often in your rookie year. So you're not entitled to anything. This year, people are entitling Tatum. They're like, this is the guy. He could be our MVP. Jaylen Brown, we're like, don't trade for you know, Jimmy Butler, because, you know, don't trade for Kawhi Leonard. We already got Kawhi Leonard. He's Jaylen Brown. So, yeah. Like, the irrational expectations, I think, our mentality should be reversed.
I'm kind of two minds of this, and it's just because we've been around the block so many times, we've seen this so many times, and it's like, yes, I see where you're coming from. I can see, like, okay, Jason Tatum's got to eat, Jaylen Brown's got to eat, Terry Rozier's got to eat, and oh, by the way, you've got three all-stars to add to that mix. Who's going to eat less, right? But at the same time, I kind of see it as, well, Al Horford likes feeding.
right.
You know, Gordon Hayward is cool with whatever, you know. He's sort of like, yes, he wants to be a star in his own right, but he likes playing the game the right way. And I think seeing that in two of your best players, and don't let me, you know, leave Kyrie out. You know, Kyrie, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he can get his shot off on every single play if he wants to, and he's going to shoot up a lot of shots. But at the same time, you know that he's holding back, he's restraining in order to get other people involved, in order to let the system run. So the young Bucks who are coming up and seeing that in their three best players are going to be like, hey, I get it. Jaylen Brown especially is going to be like, you know, I get it. Jason Tatum, I mean, don't let me leave Tatum out of this too. Like, he's going about it the right way. He's going about it with a methodical process, and he can see, oh, this makes sense. I can see the hard work that these guys have to put in into their craft in order to be the top at their game. But at the same time, they're also doing it the right way. They're listening to coach. They're buying into the system. I think if you've been around the league long enough, you realize you can kind of see other systems and see that guy, that team is not buying into their coach. And so everything is just sideways. But over here, we've got Brad Stevens, and he's preaching the right things, and everyone is bought in. So I know when I make this rotation, my back is going to be covered by the next guy, and he's going to be covered by the next guy, who's going to be covered by the next guy. So it all kind of works together. So I do think that there's a feeling out process that they're going to have to go through. There is perhaps going to be a little bit of ego checking at the door, but at the same time, if anyone's going to do it, if any stars are going to do it, I would pick this group.
Man, the optimism is flowing right now.
I'm trying to talk myself down from the ledge. I just can't do it. You know,
this is like perilously close to the old SNL Chicago Bears skit, where it's like
10 little Ditkas.
Yes, exactly. You know,
don't bleep that out. That wasn't a
we're like, okay, one giant sized Tatum versus 100 tiny Tatums. Who wins? The Tiny Tatums are coached by Brad Stevens. Oh, well, the Tiny Tatums. Yeah, you and I will say, we have generally skewed optimistic, even in, you know, the criticism. Like, I definitely classify as an optimistic Celtics guy. I think you would see yourself as the same, right?
Guilty. Very much guilty.
Yeah. I mean, like, how do you temper the expectations? Like, Is it hard for you to like pull back and be like, okay, let me just take a look at this realistically?
Sometimes it's just reading, you know, other people who are so optimistic, and I kind of like look at them and be like, is that how I sound? And then I'll see criticisms. I'll see, you know, guys like, you know, Matt Moore and other, you know, talking heads that like to give the Celtics a hard time. And, you know, hey, you know, I take it for what it's worth. And I kind of say, you know, yes, he's giving us a hard time, but is there a kernel of truth in there? Yeah, probably. And so, you know, I try to temper my expectations and kind of look for, okay, am I being realistic in my takes here? And yes, I definitely skew on the more optimistic side. I definitely see the team through glasses that are tinted slightly green. But at the same time, I'm also trying to make sure that I'm saying, okay, does that make sense? Does this... Is it within the bounds of reality? Are you getting a little bit too optimistic here? So I try to check myself whenever possible. But, you know, obviously I'm a fan. I'm an unapologetic fan, and I'm going to, you know, want to I mean, I like leaning forward and leaning more positive. And part of it too is just, it's a, you know, to go, not to go all Obi-Wan on you, but there, you know, it's a certain point of view, right? You know, for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, there have been wonderful, optimistic things we could take from each of those seasons. Even like, you know, the first year where Brad's first year, they were losing tons of games. We were, you know, one of the top lottery teams, and it was, you know, nothing from a certain point of view. That's a total fail. That's a total failure on every level.
Right.
From another point of view, I can see what they were doing. I can see what they were building. I can see how Brad Stevens was getting into things, and all of the Danny Ainge trades that were getting, you know, killed in the moment that they happened. All the draft picks, like, you know, Terry Rozier was just like, who? How could you draft him so high? Yeah, all the moves that he's done over the years, at least recently, some of them I didn't necessarily agree with, but I could at least see the theory. I could see the method to his madness. I could see where he was going with it. Yes, I tend to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because I'm a fan, but I'm trying not to be a Pollyanna, you know, fanboy who never says anything bad about the team. So yeah. There's a balance.
There is. There totally is. You know, I agree with you. Like, again, in the 13 years that we've been around, I've been around, 15, like, I remember we started in the, I guess that would make us what, the year Paul Pierce got hurt with the stress reaction and Tony Allen tore his ACL going up for an after the whistle dunk. And like somewhere around that range, I specifically remember making a Photoshop of Doc and Danny Ainge, like with their arms around one another. And I put, I'm with stupid shirts on their, on each of them pointing to the other guy. So it wasn't always positive. It wasn't always positive.
No, I get it.
I think where we are is in an era of very positive things. Okay, so you had basically going back to the trade for Kevin Garnett, which happened in the summer of 2007. It's 11 years ago.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett, 11 years ago, was preparing to start his first season with the Boston Celtics. And ever since then, there's been positive stuff, even in the bad things that happened, where you can complain, but there are injury stuff and things didn't go well and Ray Allen left. So there's drama.
Sure. Yeah.
But even in trading Pierce and Garnett, and it was like, oh my God, so sad, the end of an era. Wait, we got what? Oh, unprotected, you say? Oh,
right.
Well, I remember talking to John Duke, another one of the OGs, another guy that's in this class of guys who've been around, when he and I, in a brief stint, like I'm like the Shemp of the Three Stooges when I was on Celtic Stuff Live with him for like a brief, like hot minute. But I remember talking to him about the trade. You know? Like, oh yeah, I remember those dark days of Celtic Stuff Live. But I remember talking to him and we're like, you know, I mean, I hate to see Pierce go away. I hate to see KG go away. But if this breaks right. This could be good. And damn it, it all broke right.
It all did. It's amazing.
All of it.
It's like whatever the opposite of PTSD is, that's what we have. Because we've seen it many times. Danny Ainge could get up there and trade our entire roster for the Knicks roster, and we'd be kind of like, okay, let's see this play out. I want to see how this works.
Right. I'll be honest. Like I've had these moments where I'm like, I don't know. I don't like this. Like for once, I don't agree with Danny Ainge. I'm like, well, now I look like an idiot because like, I can't believe he traded for Kyrie Irving. And I was like, nope, this is it. This is where I break with Danny Ainge. Right, I'm like, I'm stupid now. People wonder why I'm so optimistic and I'm so on the Danny Ainge train. Well, he's been right almost every time for like 11 years. That is an insane run. And
even when he's been wrong, he's been smart enough to cut bait and move forward with it and make another reasonably good decision at least. Right. So
he's not one of those guys Like, yeah, how many times have we seen GMs? Like, Andrew Wiggins is a great example. Well, yeah. We drafted this guy. We traded for this guy. We got to give him a chance. And you give him this massive contract, and you're like, this. Everybody around sees it, and like, you're making a mistake. And
right.
But in that moment, you're like, well, we can't admit that this was a mistake, because right. then we look stupid. And Danny Ainge is like, yep, screwed up. My bad. Boom. David Lee, you're gone. You're out.
Right. See ya. Yeah.
You know, like, that's boom, done. Has he whiffed on some things? Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, no one is 100% right, but who yeah. has been more right than Danny Ainge over the course of the past decade? It's yeah. unprecedented. At some point, it's going to, and okay. Let's go back to this. I keep bringing this up, but when you're this good, some of it is luck. And
oh, yeah.
he almost blew it with the Justice Winslow pursuit.
yep. Although who knows, Brad? Brad Stevens could turn him into an all-star.
Sure. You never know. Like, maybe we would have won two championships by now.
Right.
But from what we can see, that was like, and I always call it the scared straight moment. Like, Danny Ainge was like, I love this kid. I gotta go for it. Michael, here's like our treasure trove. We got to get into that slot. We got to be able to go pick Justice Winslow. And thankfully, Michael Jordan was like, nope. Frank Kaminsky is the god. We're going to go. You're too stupid to know that Frank Kaminsky is the god. You're pursuing the other guy. We're going to stay right here. And it's like, now it's like, oh,
when you have a chance to get a Frank Kaminsky, you don't pass up that chance.
Yeah, right. Of course. But that's an example of like a very public, very obvious, like Danny Ainge was going to make a critical mistake. And, you know, it's like a random red light that if you realize like, oh man, if I would have turned, that gate wouldn't have gone down. I would have gotten hit by that train. Like, I can't believe I got so lucky. Like,
the butterfly effect. Yeah,
it totally is. And it's,
but you know, and I'll say too, like, you know, you go back in time, even 3-4 years ago, before all these, you know, awesome hits in the lottery happened, people were bringing up all these draft mistakes that Danny Ainge had. And you could go back and you could compile a top 10 terrible draft picks that Danny Ainge did. But he's been, like you and me, he's been around for so long. Yes, you're going to have the law of averages. Some of them are going to hit, some of them are going to miss. And I would even argue that a lot of the misses were low in the draft anyway, so you might as well take a gamble on a high upside, you know, high risk type of player. So, I mean, absolutely. Like, I even go back to, like, remember when he traded for Gary Payton? That didn't necessarily work out, but I could see the method. I could see what he was driving at right. there. It bought us some playoff experience. It gave, you know, it gave Paul Pierce some playoff experience early on in his career. And who knows, you know, how much benefit that had later on in his career. So, I mean, there's reasons to have, you know, I can see what they're doing. I can see what they're doing. And, you know, if you want me to be critical of the team, great. Let's show me something that they do really, really poorly. They've got great ownership, and I'm not just trying to butter up Wick and Company. They get it. They get it and they get out of the way. And then there's Danny Ainge has been great. We've just been singing his praises. Brad Stevens is great. His whole coaching staff is great. What am I going to complain about? I mean, right. This is a really well run team. All you have to do is look around for 5 seconds. Look at Minnesota. Look at New York. Look at Sacramento. We are, for right. lack of a better word, we're blessed. We are so lucky to be fans of this team in this era at this time. So it's great.
Yeah, I agree. Look, when he was making his drafts, like a lot of those misses, you're right. They were low in the draft. And, you know, you take a wild swing at a Juwan Johnson, but mm-hmm. you know, Juwan Johnson was what he was like a 20 something pick in the draft. What was he?
I don't remember. It's like 23 or something like that. And yeah. but he also drafted his teammate Etuan Moore. Etuan Moore, is that right? And yes. he went on to have a very solid career in the NBA. So, I mean,
Juwan Johnson was the 27th pick overall. 27th pick. And you get killed for, like, at that point, you get killed for not taking somebody who came after him. And I'll call up the 2011 NBA draft, and you can say, like, Jimmy Butler came after Juwan Johnson. But, like, who saw that coming? Like, the classic is, well, he drafted Kelly Olynyk instead of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, it's not like he drafted Kelly Olynyk first and Giannis Antetokounmpo went second and he just blew it. Like,
right. There's a lot of people who passed on Giannis.
Yeah, he was drafted, what, 13th? Like,
yeah.
And even the Milwaukee Bucks will admit, and it's documented, you can Google it. They'll be like, we didn't know we were getting this. We thought we were getting a player who could be good. We didn't know that we were getting a potential Hall of Famer at that point who is, you know, a Kevin Durant, like a jump shot away from Kevin Durant is basically what he is. Like, who saw that?
He kept growing after he got drafted. Who does that?
Right. So, like, you can sit there and be like, well, Danny Ainge had a chance to draft Jimmy Butler and he didn't do it. Yeah, well, 29 other teams did too. And that's the level of reach. Now, of course,
and then when he did have like the lottery picks and the top, you know, top of the notch picks from the Nets, we got Jaylen Brown, we got Jason Tatum, we got, you know, really, really, really good hits on those. And that's when you want to nail it.
Exactly. Except for James Young.
We will not talk about that.
Who?
Well, even that was like, you know, mid lottery. It wasn't like a top five pick. So, I mean, fine, you know, whatever. Like I said, there's the law of averages comes up. And by all means, I'm very willing to admit some of his draft picks haven't panned out. All right. Well, it's not like he signed him to a max extension.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know, James Young, like even RJ Hunter. And I was one of the RJ Hunter trained guys. And it's like, okay, this isn't, you know, I'm the type of guy, like I have always said, I'll be horrible GM.
Yeah.
I hold on to guys. I get emotionally attached. I would have held on to him over James Young. Now, of course, it didn't matter. They're both gone. But RJ Hunter, he's been bouncing around. He just can't stay with an NBA team. He's had every opportunity. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work for him. Maybe he can take the Gerald Green route. And Gerald Green had the first few years, and you're like, ugh, it's just not going to work. And he bounced around, went to Europe, went to China, and he came back, and then he became an NBA player. Maybe there's something like that in RJ Hunter, but that's whatever. Like,
and that brings up another thing I like to say, too, is like, you know, early on, I used to, we would see like Danny Ainge would make a move that was unpopular with fans. He don't care. That's one of the great things about him is he does not care. And people would be like, you know, I don't even remember what brought it up, but it was like, I know that he doesn't read Celtics blog personally. And I know that he doesn't read all the clippings everywhere of all the feedback he's getting. And I'm so happy about that. I don't want him listening to me because I'm a total idiot when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
So
that's the little secret here. The people in the car who are calling into EEI or Sports Hub, the people who are hosting the shows, me, you, we don't know.
Right.
He is better at this than us.
Right.
If he wasn't, he'd be doing this and I'd be doing that. So that's the end of that. But look, all we can do is react and give our thoughts and hopefully people will listen and read and people will do whatever it takes via subscription or advertising and clicks to pay us enough money where our reactions to what he does is valuable. So that's the best.
We're at least entertaining.
It really is just an ecosystem. I'm just trying to be a remora on the bottom of a great white that just takes me to where the food is. Just that's all my goal is.
Parasites at the NBA.
Seriously, look, man, parasites, the buzzards. If you want me to be a buzzard and run around and just feasting on the carcasses of old takes, fine. That has value.
John Corrales, are you not entertained?
That's it. Look, here's the bottom line. Can I live? Can I live my life? Can I go and fill my growler up at the Mystic Brewing Company in Chelsea?
There you go.
Or am I going to have to eat ramen noodles? Like, what do I need to do to fill
live
a growler every
life.
Couple of weeks?
Shoot your shot. Go get your Patreon, man.
That's it, man. That's it. I'm going to stop this because generally podcasts are supposed to go about an hour. Actually, on our network, it's supposed to go about half an hour, but this is such a special podcast. We're doing it for the Friday. So if people want to spread it out over the weekend, this is kind of like you have 3 days to consume this podcast. So
just listen to us on 2x speed and it'll sound really fun.
There you go. Oh, are you a podcast listener?
I am totally a podcast listener.
Are you 2x speed or a fast speed, or are you a regular speed guy?
I'm usually around 1.5. If I'm really, crunch for time, I can go up to two, but it's a little bit too much for me.
Most I could do is 1.7. My default is 1.5.
Yeah.
I can pump it up to 1.7 if I, and now look, this is my commuting life, which I'm giving up in 2 weeks, but I normally have about an hour. So I get all my stuff together for the day. And then I grab my phone before I walk out the door and I look at the new releases and I go, this. And right. I have about generally a little bit more than 2 hours before I'm like, okay, this is the max. I get through most of it on because I put it at 1.7.
Yeah.
I get through most of it when I get to work. And then after work to the gym is when I polish off the rest. And then maybe on the way home, if there's a late release, I'll listen to something there. But that's a great way. If you can get to that 1.7, I think that's the sweet spot of – oh, and also what do I use? Pocket Casts. I think all of these have a silence eliminator. So if there's like a second of a pause, it just eliminates that silence. So it really – so – and it's funny because what ends up happening – when you eliminate the silence, the flow of the podcast is great. And on occasion when
it's like auto tune,
it's like, oh man, they're so snappy with all of this. And sometimes, and I'll never name the podcast, but sometimes I listen to a podcast when it's on regular speed. For some reason I have to listen to it online. I'm like, that was a longer pause than I remember. This is a lot slower. Like I'm spoiled. And well, you made the joke that if you ever met me, Sam, or Jay, that we have to chug Red Bull so we could speak normally. That's right.
Exactly. Yep. And it's kind of like if you can find some kind of app out there that'll make me sound good, then by all means. I apologize for bringing down the quality of this podcast.
What's it been like talking to me when I'm talking to you in like normal speed?
Here in real life, in IRL, I need time to think about what you're saying. I need to think of my catchy sayings and my quick jabs and my witty sayings and I'm terrible at this. It's allowed me to catch up with you basically. But my brain moves faster than my lips do. That's why I'm not a podcaster.
So funny. All right. Oh, look. It's easy to follow Jeff at Celtics blog, which I mean the Celtics blog Twitter account has now been. You've slowly handed over the reins to as well to other people because now you have other during games or whatever. There are like takeovers of your Twitter, which is wild. Because now I'm like, wait, am I responding to Jeff?
I apologize for the confusion. No, I mean, it's just like we love to have that interaction, and sometimes I just can't get to everything, and I can't see every game live, and so I hate to have the interactions not happen. So, hey, by all means, let someone else have it and run with it. So,
well, I can tell when somebody like Doxy is running the account because you're not an anime guy, and like I can tell. I can tell when it's not you. There's certain tells, like a poker game. I know. It's like, okay, I know somebody else is on this. But
it's a signature.
It's at Celtics blog. Jeff Clark, OG.
It's funny. You say it's so easy, but my dad just last night said, what's the name of your blog again? Humble sauce right there.
Right there.
He's like, I have this Celtics nation and it's wanting to friend me on Facebook. I'm like, just ignore it, Dad. It's fine. It's fine. Yes, CelticsBlog.com.
There's always something good. Like, I be the first, but like, it's nice to get these little ego boosts. And right. But there's always something right around the corner. It's like, you ain't nothing.
And, thanks, Dad.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, and it's always great when it comes from somebody from your family. You're like, what's the name of your thing again? Like,
I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of, yeah. Two people wanted my picture once. Thanks.
Oh, last story. Early on in blogging, and I was starting off, a guy who wrote for the site was like, oh, yeah, I write for the site. And he was talking to a girl on a bus. He was telling me about this afterwards. And she was like, oh, you're Celtics blog? And I was like, oh, man, you're getting numbers because of me? Come on.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyways, so enough old guy stories.
That's it. Well, I'm going to go get my prunes and get a nice warm glass of milk so I can go to bed.
Yeah. Jeff, we got to meet up for a blue plate special sometime.
Yeah. A nice 4 p.m. dinner somewhere.
Yes.
Oh, man. That's great. That's kind of where we are. Jeff Clark, Celtics blog. Amazing talk. Everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. God, if you're still listening, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast by now, you're never going to, but please
bless,
do.
Bless you.
Yeah, seriously. This has been an amazing conversation, and I could keep going, but we're going to cut this off at a very long hour and 15 minutes now. Jeez. And we'll just have to continue the conversation at some point. I can't believe it's taken us this long to do this, but I'm glad we did. Jeff, thank you. And everybody, thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.